Hello there, you're very welcome along to the RTE Rugby Podcast. This is just a small little bonus pod ahead of our regular episode coming on Wednesday. On that note, I'll be chatting to Bernard Jackman and Johnny Murphy on this week's main pod on Wednesday. And as you can imagine, the bulk of that conversation is going to be about the big news from Munster that Graham Rowntree has left his role as head coach with immediate effect. If you do have questions around that you'd like me to put their way, do get in touch. If you're watching this on YouTube, simply leave a comment below at the bottom of the screen. If not, get in touch with us on X. You can use the hashtag RTERugby, or you can send me a message directly at Neil_Tracy. In this episode, though, I'm going to be chatting with Ireland Sevens internationals Bavin Parsons and Zach Ward, who are launching the new school season of the Tackle Your Feelings Schools online teaching platform. As part of that launch, Tackle Your Feelings are encouraging teachers and schools nationwide to sign up to their free classroom-based program, which helps equip students across Ireland with practical tools for building resilience and emotional intelligence and positive mental health as well. So a really good initiative. We'll get straight into the interviews a little later. I'll be talking to Bavin about her recovery from her injury post-Olympics, how she's had to deal with some mixed emotions as well, watching that brilliant WXV campaign from Ireland, although she does have the World Cup to look forward to and a rematch against New Zealand. First, though, here's Zach Ward, the breakout star from the Irish Sevens this season, who's now trying his hand in the 15s game up at Ulster. Enjoy and do tune in on Wednesday. Now, you're very welcome along to this special RTE Rugby Podcast. Looking around the Tackle Your Feelings Schools programme, and I'm delighted to be joined, first of all, by Zach Ward, a little bit later, Bavin Parsons. Zach, it's great to have you on the podcast. You're a man who's had a busy few months. Olympics, moved to the 15s game, moved to the wing as well. It's been all change and all go for you in the last, what, 5-6 months?
Yeah, it's been pretty eventful. Barely had a minute to kind of sit back and reflect on it. But no, it's been really enjoyable. Loved every minute of it, and hopefully continues.
So let's start with the Olympics. And obviously, it wasn't the outcome that you'd been looking for. We spoke to a lot of the players and the coaches beforehand, and obviously getting a medal was a big target this time around at the Olympic Games, and obviously fell a little bit short in the quarterfinals. How do you reflect on that experience a couple of months on from it now?
When I sit back and I think about it, I think it's an amazing experience. I loved every single minute of it. Obviously, as you say, the main goal was to go and medal and to come up and so close, and for it to go the way that it did is pretty disappointing. I think I'll never really not look back at it and be disappointed at the result. But apart from that, it was absolutely incredible. A real life goal completed in a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Have you got your Olympic rings tattoo? Everyone seems to get them.
So funny, this, I think I am this week. I've been debating where I'm going to get it, but I'll definitely get it. So when I'm maybe 50, 60 years down the line, I can look back and have pretty fond memories.
What's the popular body part to get it done on? Where are you thinking between?
Everyone always gets it on their bicep, so I don't know if I'm going to go there. I'm thinking either behind my arm, in the back of my arm, my tricep, or on my forearm, but I'd have it pretty small. I remember joking with my friend saying before I went in, I'm going to get the rings across my forehead in as big and bold bold letters as I could. But no, I'll have it pretty small on my arm, just as a wee reminder every now and then.
Absolutely. So let's talk then about the trial that you're on at the moment with Ulster and how that's going on. Obviously, the funny part about it is that you played a couple of preseason games. You're yet to actually get a competitive game in, but mainly that's because of being involved in the Emerging Ireland Tour as well. Can you bring us back to how the invitation came about to go in and try your hand with Ulster?
Yeah, so it all kind of started before we went into Paris. Bryn Cunningham and stuff had kind of spoken to me about, you know, would I consider the transition across to 15s and playing on the wing? He said it was something they'd kind of thought that could work, but it was just kind of brief conversations. They wanted to still let me go to Paris and fully focus on trying to get a medal. And then off the back of that, it was once we kind of finished Paris and kind of let the dust settle a little bit, they kind of said, okay, let's get the ball rolling with this and see where we can take it.
So what were your thoughts when the wing was suggested?
I thought it was a joke at the start, to be honest. Because before I went to play sevens, I was a back rower.
Yeah.
I know every back rower thinks they can play as a winger. So when I had the opportunity, I was like, oh, here we go. I'm living the dream now. it's been really enjoyable so far. I have a lot to still learn, and the coaches both at Ulster and with the Emerging Tour have been really good and giving me little tips and stuff just to kind of get me thinking and keep me learning that side of things. But both have said the same message, is just let's just do what you did in sevens and 15s, just get the ball in your hand and go and enjoy it. They're not putting too much pressure on me, which is quite nice. So it allows me to go and try and just give it my all without worrying about making too many mistakes.
You say there's kind of things that you're obviously still ironing out and working on. What are the bits and pieces of wing play that maybe you hadn't really thought about or given too much thought into before you made the switch over? Kind of bits around kicking or, you know, positional play and stuff like that?
Well, kicking's definitely the big one. I always thought I had a bit of a handy left foot, but whenever I started to run with the ball and try and kick, I was like a duck out of water. I was horrendous. So I'm still learning that. But another big one would probably be the backfield coverage, just when to kind of drop or close the line and stuff like that. Having guys like Ethan McElroy and Jacob Stockdale have been really good in keeping me right and giving me pointers and stuff. So it's the stuff they're telling me starting to click with me, and I'm starting to get a bit of a feel for it. So hopefully as the time goes on, I'll get a lot more comfortable and used to it.
And I imagine as part of that, then getting to get into the Emerging Ireland environment and being around, you know, the Irish coaches and getting FaceTime and, you know, opportunities to learn from them and learn those very, very specific things. I'm sure that was a hugely, hugely beneficial kind of couple of weeks for you.
Oh, massively, massively. They said a lot of the same stuff to me, just about, you know, don't be getting too caught up. You've only been being a winger for at that time, I think it was maybe a month and a half. So they were saying not to get too bogged down with the real detail side of things, just go and enjoy it. I learned so much from all the coaches and players as well. Just being able to pick Simon's brain and stuff like that, and just constantly ask them questions. And he would come to me with footage and stuff like that, say, right, this is good, or let's change this and see how this works. And then picking players' brains, like Sean O'Brien with Munster, he was a real big help. I found we were going for a lot of coffees together, which was nice. So I was able to pick his brain a lot as well.
Yeah, and it's interesting because we were actually only speaking to him last week ahead of Munster's game against the Sharks, and he is someone who's new to the wing as well in the last 12 months. Now, I know he's come from the centre rather than the back row, so it's not as big a change. But what have you found has helped coming from the sevens game into the wing? What are the things that you feel you've been able to bring in that maybe that potentially someone who has just played 15s hasn't really got?
I think, I don't know if it's that they don't necessarily have. I think the one thing that we work so much on in sevens is beating guys one-on-one. Yes, we have a lot more space, but sevens players are really good at closing down space, so you don't have as much time as you would think. So just finding ways to beat players one-on-one and stand guys up is something I've definitely found coming into the 15s game has really helped. I think also that the speed aspect of things obviously is a huge plus. We also do a lot of work on the high ball, catching high balls above your head, very, very Gaelic football-esque. So that side of things, Ulster like to kick crossfield kicks quite a lot. So that stuff's really benefited me, because I'd like to think I'm a pretty good option to hit it across to get up in the air and beat guys there.
And are they the elements of the game then that the coaches like Richie or, you know, the Emerging Ireland coaches would have told you to kind of lean into those skills that you have?
Yeah, definitely. I actually can't remember a time that they told me, if in doubt, kick the ball. It's always just, you know, go back to what you're good at, just carry the ball, beat guys one-on-one and back yourself. It was nice that they put no real pressure on me when I was playing. they just say, just go out, enjoy it, express yourself, do what you've been doing for the last couple of years with sevens, and you'll get on grand. And that really stood to me, especially in those emerging games when we're playing against South African teams, you know, at altitude and at heat. Whenever it was getting tough, it was nice to go back to rely on those things. And I think they helped me out a little bit.
What has the fitness been like? Because it's obviously two very, like, that's probably the biggest difference between the two games, where it's like in sevens, flat out for 2 7-minute bursts. Whereas in across the 80 minutes, you mightn't have a huge amount to do for a handful of minutes at a time. But when you need to go, you're going all out and spreading that energy then over the course of, you know, at least 40 minutes or however long you're going to be on the pitch across 80 minutes if you're playing a full game.
Yeah, I think from a running point of view, it's actually been okay. It's nothing too bad. You build up a pretty good endurance engine from seven, so that was okay to carry across. But I think the biggest thing that I find challenging is the contact element of things. Whether you make a carry into guys who are a lot heavier than you're used to playing against, you then have to get up, and like if they snap back onto your side, you've got to go again and do it. So that side of things has been pretty challenging, but the S&C coaches at Ulster have been really good at kind of taking me out of certain sections to do little extra top-ups to get me used to playing at the different style and get used to the contact element of things.
So looking towards the future, what is, I suppose, what's the short-term future for you at the moment? How long do you have left on your trial at Ulster? And do you kind of see yourself staying and giving this 15s thing a lash? I know you've been back playing with Ballinahinch in the AIL as well. You had a good win at the weekend and you got in for a couple of tries, I think it was. How long are you planning to stick with this, or will you kind of be over and back between this and the sevens again?
No, I think kind of from now, it's just my full focus is on 15s. I think with sevens, the lifestyle of sevens is phenomenal, but I've ticked every box I wanted to tick with sevens. So now it's a matter of, okay, new set of goals, let's go and chase these with 15s. I'm in with Ulster. Hopefully we'll find out in the next kind of week or so what the long-term future holds. But I think for myself anyway, I just want to give it a real good crack and try and create a nice career in 15s.
Right. Well, it's been great chatting to Zach, and hopefully you get some good news on that front in the next couple of weeks. Yeah. And we see even more of you in an Ulster, and who knows, maybe even an Ireland shirt over the next couple of seasons. Zach Ward, it's been great having you on the show.
Cheers. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Now, delighted to be joined on the RTÉ Rugby podcast by Ireland 15s and 7s international and Olympian now, Bevan Parsons. Bevan, how does that sound? He's still getting used to being called Olympian Bevan Parsons?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think it'll ever set in, but yeah, it's a pretty cool title.
How have things been over the last couple of months? How is the recovery going? First of all, obviously, people might have seen that you got injured in the quarterfinal against Australia, missed the placing match after that, and it turns out you ended up having to have surgery. Was it like an ankle, Achilles, foot issue? How are you coming along with that?
Yeah, I broke my fibula in the quarterfinal.
Right.
While I was down there, I did it, my syndesmosis as well. So yeah, it went from being a very busy, energetic, exciting few months to the complete opposite, very sort of recharging and sort of going back home and recovering. So yeah, it was a big, fast sort of change, but I think it'll do me well in the long term.
So what sort of a rehab timeline is that, and how far along into it are you?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty far along. So they put in a plate and screws, so that meant I could get walking and sort of moving on it pretty quickly. So I'm back running now, and hopefully we'll reintegrate into a bit of contact, hopefully, and some training, and then I'll be on the home stretch.
Oh, very good. So it wasn't too long of a layoff, it's not looking like. Overall, though, I mean, hopefully that didn't taint the Olympic experience too much for you, did it?
No, I was hobbling around Paris on crutches and in a wheelchair, and I still wanted to stay out there. So no, nothing could get me down at that stage.
Obviously, like, mixed feelings, I would imagine, for you watching on the WXV then over the last couple of months, because I presume all things going to plan, you would have been going along to that as well, along with a few of your other Sevens teammates. Like an incredible few weeks for Irish rugby, but obviously I presume it was difficult at times to watch knowing you couldn't be there.
Yeah, absolutely. It was incredible watching the girls, and so many of them that crossed over and made the reintroduction into 15s, and how they just blew up on the world stage. It was phenomenal to watch. And then seeing the girls that train in the 15 centralized program play a full interpros, and seeing how much that they grow with the game time that they're given. And when you put it all together, it was just something really spectacular. So it was exciting to watch. I didn't miss a minute from home. But watching them beat the Black Ferns was definitely bittersweet. I was watching it from my bed because it was like early hours of the morning, and you're sort of simultaneously so happy and excited that this is your team and look at what they're achieving, but also I really want to be there.
Can you remember like what point in that game when you were watching it, thinking, "Oh, there's a win here to be had." Like at what point did it hit you? Okay, this could be happening now.
Yeah, like the girls were performing for the whole game, and I felt like they were just building and building. And when it went to that scrum and they kicked it out and the final whistle blew, I still had to stay looking at the scoreline. I was like, has this really happened? Like, oh my God. And my favorite part of the game was just the celebrations after and seeing them leaping onto each other, and just the belief that you see that they got from that game was incredible. And I think it paved the way for the rest of the WXV campaign.
Yeah, and obviously the results and performances, stayed at that level throughout the few weeks, and now there's huge excitement going up towards the World Cup next year. I would imagine having to sit and watch the WXV has just kind of fueled the fire for you a little bit more to be there at what's going to be a historic Women's World Cup next year, probably the biggest of all time,
Yeah.
and an opportunity for you to get out against the Black Ferns next year, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. And when the draw was being pulled, I was just ecstatic when they pulled New Zealand, because I really want to have a go at them myself. I've never gotten to play them, and so I think that's it, it's all written in the stars that I will have a chance to play them. And there's a good crew of us in rehab that would have really liked to be at WXV, so we're really, pleased with the draw that we have and the opportunity to play against them. And also get back for the Six Nations and really roll up our sleeves and get to work, because we're not the finished article yet and there is a lot of work still to do, but the ceilings are limitless for this team.
Yeah, and as you kind of said there, you're one of a handful of probably what people would consider first team players who have been laid up with injury and missed that campaign. Like you look at Sam Monahan was out as well. Even players who were in the squad, Adele McMahon obviously missed out on a couple of matches as well. A lot of senior players missed out on a lot of time in that tournament, and the results were still good. So add to that as well the jump up the rankings. Even last week then you have the appointment of Lynn Cantwell as the new head of women's strategy. It seems like a very, very exciting team to be, or exciting time to be involved in this team and this program.
Yeah, it's been bubbling away under the surface for a while, and I think that WXV campaign just showed the world what we've been building, what we've been growing, and Scott and his team of coaches have been, pivotal in that. They're so great at building our competition and the intensity at which we train. They really are top level coaches, and the girls have brilliant attitudes and implement what they are being told and what they're being coached. So when you put like those two things together, it's just a recipe for something great.
And add to that as well, then, like the age profile of the team, where there's a huge core of that squad now that are, including yourself, in that like under 25 bracket where there is still a lot of potential to come.
Yeah, and I think that's the exciting thing. Like with each test game, we're getting more caps under our belt, and because we are a very, on paper, unexperienced team, but when we're getting these games and the way that we train, we learn so much, just as much as when we play. So, all of these moments are just adding to our experience. So we have a young group, but hopefully it'll soon be an experienced young group, and that's pretty dangerous.
And like of those young players, like we'd Aoife Wafer, who kind of exploded onto the scene in the Six Nations. Aaron King exploded during the WXV. I'm going to put you on the spot now and say, if we're talking about Six Nations next year, who should we be buying our stock in at the moment to get in nice and low before that price rises?
Well, those two players that you mentioned, Aoife Wafer and Aaron King, are phenomenal. They're just brilliant, and the rugby IQ that they have is out of this world. With Aoife Wafer, she was in the gym the other day, and she was just playing a different ball game. She was like to me, "Do you know how many miles that New Zealand have to travel before we play them compared to us?" And she had it all done out, the miles from pitch to hotel to training facilities. And she was saying that they have like 400 miles to travel, and we only have around 80 in the pool stages. And I was just like, this girl is, she's studying a different ball game. Like she's so invested in the game, and it shows when you see her play. She's just magnificent. So yeah, Aaron, if you're buying stocks or placing bets, I think Aaron King and Aoife Wafer are two safe bets.
Well, the price is going to be fairly high on the two of them now, at this rate. What's the plan for yourself then when you do get back fit? Is it kind of as you were last year to be moving between sevens and 15s? Like they seem to have kind of struck a decent balance between managing players across those two programs now.
Yeah, I think the like success on the women's scale, be it sevens or 15s, is positive for both teams. So that's definitely something that we're going to have to manage. We want to be successful in sevens and 15s. Obviously, with the World Cup coming up, there is a priority put on 15s, but you still want the sevens to be performing, and it's a great pathway for players as well to really train them up. Like Erin King spent a lot of time in sevens, and you can see her now on the world stage in 15s, how strong, how fit. Like a lot of those attributes were sort of coached in sevens. So it is a brilliant pathway. So it'd be a shame to see that like diminish. So there's going to be a couple headaches or a couple decisions to be made about what tournaments to go to and whatnot, but thankfully they're not in my hands. Someone bigger is making those decisions, so we'll just go with the program.
Yeah, it's not going to be long coming around. What, the end of August? You're talking 9, 10 months. It's going to be quick coming around, and it's going to be a very exciting year ahead.
Yeah, it will be, and people are buying their tickets already and saying what games they're going to, and there's just such a momentum behind this team. And because it's only just a hop across the water, I think, like at the Men's World Cup in France and the Olympics in Paris, there was such a massive Irish cohort there that I felt like a home crowd. So I'm really imagining that that's what this World Cup will be like. So we re really just want to do all those people that will travel over proud and do ourselves proud, because there's massive momentum behind this group, and I just can't wait to see what we can do.
Yeah, it's going to be a big year ahead, and the very best of luck with the recovery, and we hope to see you back in Ireland action across sevens or 15, Six Nations and right through into the World Cup next season. Bevan, it's been a pleasure having you on the RT Rugby Podcast.
Thank you very much.